This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
This is Seen and Heard with Province music writer Stuart Durdain.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Seen and Heard with Stuart Durdain. Today I have the privilege of talking to someone whose career I've been following since seeing her play at back alley venues in downtown Vancouver and everything else, but who now lives in Brooklyn, pianist-composer Kat Torin, who's going to tell us about her new album Inside the Sun and a million other projects. Kat, hello from Brooklyn.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, it's kind of a thrill to finally get to have you. I know it's chasing down any one of the members of Pugs and Crows, of which you remember, can be a difficult thing at the best of times, and all the more so because you're one of the ones who's gone distant, if you will. How long have you been in New York?
This is my fifth year in New York.
And has that totally changed who you are musically and how things are going?
I think it's totally changed me in general. My mind and mood. But I was speaking with someone just yesterday who was saying that she is so glad that I still have the West Coast, Pacific Northwest Coast sentiment in my music. So I thought, okay, I guess I haven't really changed that much.
I don't suppose she broke that down into time signatures and notes, did she?
No. An overall feeling and gesture, I think.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, one thing that's certainly true is, there's a folkiness at times that appears, and even on the new record that appears. But let's talk about your kind of musical evolution to get to this point. I mean, you rolled into New York with a Juno Award, which I guess is a good thing, and also lots of playing experience. But was it a case of just packing up your bags and going, I'm going to go to the big city and see what happens?
Yeah, more or less. It was. What happened was I was feeling a tug to experience a different scene. And I wasn't sure if I was going to go to Europe, or I thought maybe Berlin, I thought maybe New York. Then it turned out that two of my really dear friends were just about to take off to New York, Bria Skonberg and Ray King.
Okay.
So I just decided I'll come with you guys. And I spent a year here just testing out the waters, and then I got a work permit and I started working professionally here in New York.
Right. Now I'm just thinking about what I know about New York and spaces and things like that, and I'm thinking that being a piano player has its, I'm guessing that you don't fit your, baby grand or performance piano in your apartment.
I do.
Do you really?
It's here. I'm standing with it.
And do you sleep on it too, given the spaces that are available?
I sleep under it. No. The last place I lived, I have this baby grand piano. And my last apartment was, it was just a big room and then a kitchen. So I'd have my bed next to the piano and a tiny couch and a tiny desk. Everything in one room. And I liked it. I mean, I think I had some insomnia issues from working and sleeping and right next to each other. But I just moved to, not just, maybe close to 2 years now. I've been in a new apartment, a two-bedroom, working my way up in the New York world.
No kidding. Two-bedroom. Wow. And how many, what, only six or seven roommates then, is it?
I live with my boyfriend. So that helps a lot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
What is the difference? Like you said, you were looking for a different scene, but let's talk about the scene you came out of. You came out of Vancouver. What was your development as a musician here? Were you another one of the many that has benefited from the Cap College program and then worked from there?
Yeah. I went through that Cap program and got my undergrad there, which was really fabulous in kind of honing in on my jazz skills. Another thing I did, which was a huge shift for me, or a sort of awakening, was the Banff Center. I did a few programs there.
Okay.
And then a few self-directed residencies. And just working with the amazing people in Vancouver really brought me to life. I released 2 albums while I was living there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved here, and I have a new band of New York people, and we just released Inside the Sun in the summertime.
Yeah, which is a totally killer record. Highly recommended.
Thank you.
And
you've
actually supplied us with a bunch of tracks from various projects, but in charting the evolution of kind of your music, I guess it makes sense to start with Pugs and Crows, the group of sort of fellow students, I guess, in many ways, that kind of all came out of CAP.
Yeah.
And
Cole went to CAP and I did, but the rest of the band didn't. Ben went for a little while. It's kind of a scattered, I don't know, we all have pretty different backgrounds in music.
Right.
Meredith studied classical in Nova Scotia, and Russell went to SFU, and he was doing the rock thing for a while, and yeah, so we've all come together to create this really amazing sound. In my opinion, it's a really great band to play in. Super lucky.
All right. Well, one of the tracks you gave us was 7, so let's hear 7 now, and then we can chat about it afterwards.
Thank you.
So the pug sound, your part is so instrumental. Every member is so instrumental. But how does it come together? Is it as freewheeling as it seems, or is it mostly written down and sort of charted?
It starts fairly charted, and it becomes more freewheeling in many cases. Cole is the main composer, and now Tony has a big hand in the composing as well. Tony right. Wilson, fabulous guitar player from Hornby Island.
Yeah, an amazing arranger too.
So Cole probably come in with a whole bunch of stuff written down, and then a bunch of stuff that he's maybe unsure about. And then the six of us get together and we flesh it out, and the piano parts have a lot of room for me to decide what I'm going to do, which is my favorite part and super fun.
Now, I've actually seen you. I saw one particularly awesome gig at the old 1067 with the band, and
right,
you were having a with every group there may be a night where one player is particularly in a mood, and that night it was you and Meredith were both on fire relative to everyone else, and the band just kind of let you two take off. And I think at that point was
that happens surprisingly often. The band just gives the women some power,
which is super cool because you're both awesome players. But I know at that point was when a good friend of mine leaned over and sort of was like, this piano player is unbelievable. Like she's going to be something so special, and she's going to go places. And then very shortly, I think at that point you hadn't quite permanently relocated. I know you'd been in Brooklyn, been in New York, and then you came back. And of course, one of the things you also supplied us with a track. Tell us about Cat's Monk Mingus.
That is a project that I started a little over a year ago, and we don't play too often, but often enough. It's with my distant cousin, Michael Blake, on the saxophone. He is a Vancouverite that's been living in New York for at least 20 years.
Absolutely.
One of the best tenor players around. And we became really great friends when I moved here. He's really helped me along in learning about the scene and meeting people. Not too recently, we decided to get together and play a bunch of Mingus and Monk charts and explore those two composers. It's been really fun.
So let's hear Monk's Mood. This is a classic track by Cat's Monk Mingus, which you've supplied. So we're going to play Monk's Mood now. Here we go. Thank you. So what is it about jazz music? I mean, why aren't you a rock person? Why aren't you out there, you know, with a million keyboards and, I don't know, doing a Grimes thing or something else?
I do play in one rock band, and it's really fun, but really different. And I didn't realize how different until this band started playing a bunch of gigs, and I would do things or assume things that were really not what the person wanted. Remember the first gig we ever had, he kind of looked at me and he's like, you can't play so outside all the time. And I didn't even think I was playing outside. I was really trying to stick with the pentatonic. I play Fender Rhodes in this band. So I was like, okay. Right. I need to hone it in even a little more. And then he says to me, he's like, you can't take so long to develop your ideas. I'm going to give you this amount of time and you just got to blast the people right now. It's like, okay. I think I have to practice. that was quite different. I guess, I don't know if I was going to say I might prefer one or the other, which maybe isn't the best word, but I'm more skilled in jazz playing because that's what I'm used to. So I guess I prefer it at this point. And the reason for that is it's more exploratory and there's more space. And that space you have to express yourself is my favorite thing about music.
Okay. Was that always true?
I think it was always true, but I might not have known it. I studied classical piano when I was a kid. I didn't have any experience improvising, but as soon as I started, especially free improvising, I just realized it touched a place in my heart that nothing else really could.
Have there ever been moments where you wish that it hadn't touched it? that you had stayed with the more, if you will, tried and true kind of pathway to musician?
No. There's never been a moment where I regretted anything. Sometimes I wish I just had more drive to practice some of the more conventional stuff, I guess. Mm. Like, I'll sit down and I will play Bach and Chopin at home for fun because I love it. But I just don't have the drive to get quote unquote perfect at it to a performance level, at least at this point. Just my passion is exploring on the instrument and especially with other people.
Right. Now, yeah. You have a group, TMT, which is Torin Morris and Tadeo Trio. That's mm-hmm. one of your new groups that you gave us a track from. But tell us about this group.
This band it's a band of, let's see here, how can I explain it? There's three of us, tenor, saxophone, drums, and piano. So it's a bassless trio, mm-hmm. which poses its own wonderful and troublesome things.
Sure.
Angelo Morris lives here in Brooklyn with me. Anthony did live in Brooklyn. He moved to Cleveland. That's where he's from to raise a family, mm-hmm. which is actually a good thing because he's been getting us to do a bunch of gigs in the Midwest. So we've been touring around Michigan and going to Ann Arbor and Detroit and Cleveland and Akron.
Totally off topic, but yeah. I was actually in Baltimore earlier this year, and there was a couple of musicians from actually Cleveland that were staying at the B&B that I was at, and they said that Cleveland's cool. kind of taking off, that there's actually kind of a really solid music scene in Cleveland.
Small, but it's solid. It's true. There's some great people there that I've met.
And that I guess maybe there's this whole, in sort of the old Rust Belt where a lot of people, you know, it's affordable, which, let's be honest, New York is much like Vancouver, very difficult that way. Perhaps it's easier in New York, I think, actually, than Vancouver these days. But that, yeah, it seems as though there are these enclaves. Ann Arbor has always been strong. Detroit seems to be coming back in its own in a big way as an art scene and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Do you find...
Yeah.
Is there something about being based where you are now, though, that enables creating groups like this, the TMT trio that we're talking about and stuff like that? Are you just constantly able to find players of a caliber and sort of an interest that you can work with?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's just so many people here. That's the thing. You will find dozens of people in any given month that have a similar path to you, and you'll be able to collaborate with them. Just for example, I was at a Halloween party at Sean Cronin's place. He's a great bass player. And he asked me to be a ghost that plays the piano for his haunted house. Like, sure. So I do this super fun and great gig. And this violin player notices me. He just sits down and he starts playing with me. And this drummer starts doing the same thing. And it was so delicate and beautiful, this music, and a little bit scary because it was Halloween. And just like that, I made some new friends with very similar musical sentiment. And I think only in New York can that happen that way.
Nice. We're going to hear Comet Song from the TMT. This is an EP that, now is this EP out? You sent me advanced tracks, I know, but.
It is. And we just recorded a whole bunch of more tracks that hopefully will be out in the next couple months.
This
one's out on Bandcamp right now.
Well, here we go with Comet Song from the Torin Morrison Tadeo Trio. Thank you. So I guess the bassless thing really does give you a chance to do all kinds of interesting approaches to working. You know, do you still find sometimes you have to explain to people that the piano is in fact a percussion instrument in a lot of ways? One of the more glorious creations of sort of the world's music makers, but I think a lot of people miss that still.
Yeah, I think so too. And well, I've found at the gigs with TMT, people don't miss the bass. This particular track that you heard is very open, and it's composed in a way that you can jump around from place to place, and it's not through composed. But this band has a lot of pieces where I have to play very specific bass lines and really challenging rhythmic things. A lot written out, like 5-page, very dense scores.
Right.
So in that sense, I really have a lot to do with there not being a bass. So I'm playing the bass line and I'm comping at the same time. And, you know, there's a lot going on. I don't know. It's really fun. It's really great. And there's just more room to explore not having the bass there. I do miss a lot of the time.
No doubt.
It is fun.
Now, with Inside the Sun, this is your first album as a leader, correct?
It is my third, but it is my
best. With this group though. With the sorry, I know about the other albums, but this is the first one with this group, right? The particular format.
It's the first one with my New York group. That's right.
Right.
That's
exactly.
True.
Yeah, and you know it's. How do you kind of, it sounds like you're working, it sounds like you're playing and stuff like that, but how do you get your music out? That's always, I'm always curious to see how, you know, especially creative musicians working outside of the pop rock kind of chart oriented thing. There are still some labels left that put music out, but I guess the general tendency these days is to do it independently and, you know, get it up online and things like that. But has that been a challenge, or has that been an interesting learning experience for you as well?
It's been an extreme challenge. I was trying to build a new label with my producer/audio engineer, which unfortunately fell through as we were making the album. And at that point, I just wasn't prepared to search for labels. I also am not sure if being on a label is really all it's cracked up to be anymore. In certain respects, yes, because they hopefully will do a lot of the publicity for you. But, you know, the Pugs and Crows made fantastic pictures independently, and it still did really well within Canada and got the Juno Award and all that. Yeah, I think labels are really great if you can get them to do your promo publicity stuff. Anyway, yeah, so now I'm trying to do all that on my own, and it's extremely difficult, and it's not what I'm very good at. Right. I don't enjoy doing it.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I think, and that is a good point that you make.
But I appreciate, go ahead.
That is a good point you make, though, about Pugs and Crows achieving that with an independent release. And of course, the one thing that that band certainly did, is you guys certainly got out there and played your music to people, which I think made a huge difference. I think a lot of the initial exposure to Pugs and Crows came from seeing you live and then pursuing the band from that point, you know, buying CDs off the stage and all the rest of it. Cause you know, I don't recall ever really it being something that got much beside a cursory CBC support, if even that. And yet here you go, as you say, you wanted Juno, you know, it worked out well.
Yeah. You just reminded me that the summer and well, really the whole year before the Juno Awards, we toured on the East Coast of Canada quite extensively. We played Montreal. We played the Nova Scotia Jazz Festival and Ottawa and a bunch of places. And that, I think, was a huge help in getting recognized across the country. That's something I found really challenging to do just as a single band leader.
Right.
When you have five people really all in it together and willing to not make a lot of money, then it's a lot easier. But when you're the sole leader of a group, it's your responsibility to take care of the band and make sure they are compensated for the hard work that they do and everything. So I found it quite challenging. Yeah, with the Pugs and Crows, it's a great family adventure, it seems like, and obviously we're doing pretty well with that.
Nice. Well, we're gonna close this out. Close this out with another track you gave us from Pugs and Crows, which is "Everybody Knows Everyone." So, and it sounds like the way you describe it, just going to New York and with friends and meeting other people and the whole sort of, you know, the expat community that is a good starting point. I guess everyone does know everyone. So here we go with the song. say love that track. And what's next for Kat Torin? What else is going on?
Well, I have decided to go back to school, to grad school here in New York. Wow. Thought I'd take advantage of the amazing professors and colleges here.
Mm-hmm. Where are you going to go?
I'm studying classical composing at the State University of New York.
Oh, wow.
And so far, it's been amazing. It's something that is difficult to do when you're not in an institution, because they can provide larger ensembles for you to compose for and set it all up. So I am just finishing up the score, literally this morning, for sextet of violin, cello, clarinet, flute, percussion, and piano.
Awesome.
And I'm pretty excited. So that's my two-year plan.
And that'll give you, you'll have a master's in classical composition at that point.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice. Is one of your teachers, just out of curiosity, I forget where she teaches, but I think it is State University, is, do you know the Czech kind of avant-garde classical violinist Iva Bitova?
I don't, but I should write that down, because
okay,
that sounds like someone I want to know.
Yeah, you probably do. It's Bittova is her last name. But I know that last time I interviewed her, she was teaching in New York.
Okay, I'll look her up. I just wrote that down.
Very cool. When will we get a chance to hear you tinkle the ivories in Vancouver again?
Oh, well, we have a big CD release coming up with the Pugs and Crows, December 17th at the Western Front. And for those of you unaware, the album Everyone Knows Everyone is a double album. We already released Everyone Knows Everyone 1. And we are preparing on that day our CD release for Everyone Knows Everyone 2, featuring Tony Wilson.
Right. Well, he really is kind of a member of the group now, as you pointed out. It seems as the last few times I've seen you.
At one point, Cole said, anyone who's been a pug is always a pug. So.
But not everyone gets to be a crow, right?
I'm hoping I'm the crow for obvious reasons, I think.
I'm just thinking games.
They're quite smart.
I'm thinking they're wonderful. I absolutely love them. Watching them do their thing is a great pastime. I'm just thinking Game of Thrones too, right? You know, you've got to go stand and defend the wall.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it, and keep making great music.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Kat Torin for chatting with us about all things Kat Torin, including the upcoming gig with Pugs and Crows, releasing their new album on December 17th at the Western Front, which I think is a show everyone should go for. I'm certainly going to be there. Also coming up with the scene section, Born Ruffians, very popular band from Midland, Ontario, has just released its latest album on September 18th. And we're going to hear a track called We Made It, which is taken from Born Ruffian's new album, Rough, which is out on Paper Bag Records. And here we are with We Made It.
we're gonna make it. One day, we're gonna make it. One day, we're gonna make it. Make it until we make it.
What can I say except that if you want to hear that and more songs like it, go to the Imperial on Saturday, November the 21st. Tickets at the door and usual ticket outlets. And you can check out what's going on with this super popular young band who are just out there laying down the sweet pop sounds. Now to the Herd section, albums that are kind of chasing it down. We're going to start off with the Most Serene Republic, a track called Benefit of the Doubt, which is taken from their album Mediac, which is on Maple Music. 6 years after its last acclaimed album and a decade since it burst onto the scene with Underwater Cinematographer, this sextet is back making the kind of upbeat indie pop that made it a support act of choice for pretty much all of the Toronto music scene, Cognoscenti, Broken Social Scene, Metric Stars, the rest, usual, and also, you know, enabled it to tour the world and kind of really get some stuff going on. I think they're probably going to be very busy on the road again with the new album. And here's Benefit of the Doubt from the Most Serene Republic.
Benefit of the doubt.
And winding up this week, we've got a great track, title track from the album Night Will Fall, out on Pirouette Records, by the Robert Landfermann Quintet. This German double bassist has worked with an exceptional range of players. I mean, it's his resume is ridiculous, but you know, everyone from sort of groove guys like John Scofield to really hard hitters like Chris Potter, and even super kind of quirky pop acts from Brazil like Lenine from up in Recife, and many, many, many more. Like, it's quite a resume. He's played the Vancouver Jazz Fest before, and I don't recall if he played with this particular quintet, but it's a really, really fine, fine album from Robert Landfermann Quintet, Night Will Fall. And he's got a decidedly Euro kind of classical tinge to his music making, but check it out. Here we go. Night Will Fall.
Oh.
Once again, this has been Seen and Heard. To check out this and other podcasts, go to theprovincepodcast.com. You can also hear us on iTunes and all sorts of other formats. So please subscribe and have at it.
You've been listening to Seen and Heard with Province music writer Stuart Durdane. Catch Stuart in the Province newspaper or online at theprovince.com.